Ezekiel 3, verse 17. It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. The first time I heard this scripture, I was working at a factory in Gary, Indiana. It's outside of Chicago. And I was making this flexible air duct and worked there 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, going to college, Bible college. But they let us listen to music, and a lot of the guys would bring their rock music or rap music, and I didn't want to sit there and listen to that for 8 hours. So I went and got my own stereo, got my own little radio, and I put it up, and I'd put Preaching Tase in, I'd put Alexander Scorby. But one particular night, I was listening to Alexander Scorby, and he was reading Ezekiel, and when it came across this scripture that we just read, it convicted my heart deeply. And I felt like it says in Psalm 39:3, it says, My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Now, I hadn't surrendered to preach by this point, but God was working on my heart. But here in this passage, at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, the Lord comes to Ezekiel and he tells him, he says, I want you to go and preach to the house of Israel. God tells him that if he was going to send Ezekiel to the heathen, they would listen to him. But since he was sending him to the house of Israel and they were rebellious, they're not going to. That's not the kind of preaching I want. I want to see results. I want to see something happen. But he was simply going to testify against them. Then God calls Ezekiel or associates Ezekiel to a watchman. A guard, like a guard of a town that sits up in a tower and watches all around for danger coming into the city and protects the people. And stands up there all night long and watches for the enemy to come in and take over. And he tells him that it's his duty to warn others of the coming judgment. He says that if Ezekiel refuses to warn the wicked of his wicked ways to save his life, he will die in his iniquity, and the wicked person's blood will God require at Ezekiel's hand. Then God tells Ezekiel that if he warns the wicked and he turns not from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but Ezekiel has delivered his own soul. Tonight, we live in a wicked world. And it's getting worse. The reason for the wickedness is because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. We've inherited that wicked, sinful nature, and it has affected the world all around us. No matter how much good somebody does, it can never amount to the righteousness of God. Being a Baptist won't get anyone to heaven. No religion is going to get anyone to heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. But because without Jesus Christ and His righteousness added to your account by accepting His free gift of salvation, we're doomed. There's no help for us at all. John 3:36, turn there. Most of you know this scripture. John 3:36. Here it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Next, turn to John 5, verse 24. Just a couple of pages ahead. John 5, verse 24, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then in Romans 6:23, turn there, if you would. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Without Christ alone as our salvation, we are wicked. And God's wrath is upon us. No matter how many righteous things we've done." And most of us would agree that the world we live in is lost, under the wrath of God, and there's a coming judgment. And like Ezekiel, those who are saved hold the truth and are watchmen for God. And Jesus Christ has given us a similar commission in the New Testament. In Mark 16:15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And I want to ask you tonight, I don't want to ask you, are you a soul winner? I want to ask you tonight, are you a soul warner? Are you a soul warner? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, God. Father, I thank you that it's not us that wins the souls. It's not us that turns the hearts. But it's your Spirit. And Father, I pray that tonight that you would help us not to become soul winners, but Lord, that we would become soul warners. And get this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out more fervently and more diligently, as we see the day approaching, Father, of your second coming. Father, this world's getting worse, and I pray, Father, that you would help us. I pray that you'd use me tonight, fill me with your Spirit. Father, touch the hearts of these dear people tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, it's our duty to warn others. I think sometimes we make the mistake, maybe when we go out soul winning on Saturdays, we make the mistake of emphasizing on professions of faith. But it's not about how many people we win. It's not about how many believe what we tell them, or even how many listen to us. Turn to Ezekiel 3:18. It says, "When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity." It's not about how many people we talk to, it's not about how many people listen to us. God wants us to warn others because there's a coming danger. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 9:27. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We have one time to die. We have one life that we're going to live. We have one chance with our children. We have one chance with our life. We have one chance to make a difference in this world. And if we don't reach the generation we're in, if we don't reach the people that we have around us right now, where we are, who's going to do it? We can't wait for somebody else to do it, because if we're not winning souls, if we're not warning people, if we're not telling people right now where we are in this place, everywhere we go, if we're not telling people, then there's not going to be anybody else to tell anyone else. If we stop opening our mouths, who else is going to get saved to bring the gospel to the next generation? A lot of churches around the world, they're closing up, they're shutting up, they're going for this lifestyle, just living the Christian life in front of people. That doesn't get anybody saved. You ought to live the Christian life. You ought to live as holy as you can. You ought to live as much as you can according to this book. But even if you don't, you need to tell people about Jesus Christ. There's a coming danger. We only live once. We only have one chance to live. And when that day comes, when we die, the death angel is going to take us away and we're going to face a judgment before a holy and righteous God. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 20, verse 11. Hebrews 20, verse 11, down to verse 15. And I saw a great white throne, and in Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're going to one day we're going to be judged according to our works. We're not going to go to hell. We're not going to face eternal judgment, but we're going to be judged according to our works. But those who rejected the Savior, those whose names were not written in the book of life, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. First, there's a coming danger. There's a judgment that every one of us is going to face. We're going to be judged according to our works. We're going to be judged according to the things that we did. God has given you eternal life, and you're going to be judged by the things you do with that life. And those people who aren't saved are going to be judged by the things that they did. But they'll be going to hell in addition. Next, we need to warn those who are going to be afflicted. Turn to Ezekiel 3, verse 17. You can keep your hand there. We're going to keep going back. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now, most of us, we get up in the morning, maybe have a shower, at least I hope you do. You get dressed, you go through your normal routines, you go to work, you stop at the grocery store, you head home. And we make sure we're in church every Sunday, and there's a few less on Wednesday nights. But days go by, weeks go by, months go by, years go by, and many Christians neglect to tell others about the Savior. There's a Saturday soul winning every week at 1 p.m., but we seem to find something else to do. We come up with excuses why we can't talk to the lady at the till or even hand her a tract. We come up with excuses why we can't talk to our friends or talk to our family. And the fact is, there is a judgment that every one of us is going to face. God has set you up to be a watchman. And their blood He'll require at our hands. Turn to Luke 16, verse 19. Here's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. This is one parable where Jesus actually used the names of people. So for many, it's believed that he's actually talking about people that those people knew, to whom he was referring. But first you have the rich man. He had a life. He lived luxuriously. He had the best food. He had the best eating utensils. He had the best car. He had the best of everything. Then you have Lazarus. He was laying at the rich man's gate. He was full of sores, diseased, probably smelly, and the kind of person most of us would try to avoid. When I was in Bible college, there was a church, the church that ran the Bible college. There was a section I used to sit in. Everybody just by human habit, you sat in the same section. You got to know, even though it was a big church, you got to know the people that sat around you. And it didn't seem as big once you were there for a couple of years. But every once in a while in my section, there would be a group of people. They were educably slow. I'll say it that way. And they would come in and they didn't know enough to wash themselves. They didn't know enough to brush their teeth or to take care of themselves. And they would come and sit down in the section. And as soon as they sat down, people start getting up and here and there and walking off and moving to another part. But if you sat next to them, the smell of their bodies was so pungent. Is that the right word? And you could just smell it. I mean, you could almost taste it. It was just so horrible. But I imagine when I think of Lazarus, I think of those people. And I think about probably even worse. Plus he had sores all over them. And now this was an authentic poor person. This isn't one of those people you see at the Paul Street shopping center with a little cup. You know, we were in Limerick last weekend, and there was this girl dressed in all, you know, nice clothes like anyone would wear, sitting there with a cup. And I thought, that's just so ridiculous. I don't know why. You know, just get a job, young lady. But I don't know. You know, I don't know why she's out there. I mean, there's got to be help somewhere for her, not just sitting there at the corner with trying to get money. But this guy, he was so hungry, he was willing to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the fact that the dogs were sitting there licking his sores tells me that he, you know, who wants dogs licking your sores? I mean, he probably didn't even have the energy. He was probably so drained that he didn't even have the energy to shoo the dogs away. But they both died. And Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, paradise as the Bible calls it, and the rich man was in hell. And in verse 27, he was so tormented by the flame that he wanted just a drop of water. Contrary to what the rock music says, hell is not a fun place. Contrary to what the world says, what MTV says, what any of the music stations say and the radio stations, hell is not a drunken party. Hell is not a good time. Mark 9:44 says, it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There are people in this world that live in such bad conditions, they would be satisfied just to have a visit to Ireland for a few days and enjoy the conveniences and the luxury that we enjoy. And that would satisfy them for a lifetime. But in hell, there is such torment. and it is so horrible that you would be satisfied for an eternity for one drop of water. Turn to Luke 16, verse 27. Luke 16, verse 27, it says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You know, just like that rich man, there are people in hell tonight that are begging and pleading for us to go and tell their loved ones about salvation. There are people pleading for the souls of their loved ones tonight. Those we come in contact with, those we talk to on a daily basis, those whose children you may know in your neighborhood, those whose parents you may know, somebody is pleading for their loved ones, begging that one of us would go to them and give them the gospel. First, there's a coming danger, which is the judgment. We need to warn others. We're responsible for the unsaved. Third, in Ezekiel, turn to Ezekiel 3, verse 18. It says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." We are responsible to warn others who have never heard. We're responsible because we have the truth. John 4:16, if you turn there. John 14:6. I have that completely wrong on my PowerPoint. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said himself that he is the only way to heaven. So those trusting in anything else have to be warned. Those trusting in themselves, those trusting in their religion, those trusting in their good works, those trusting in anything else, in humanism, in the fact that those trusting in anything have to be warned. And that's anybody who's not saved. Next, we're responsible because we have the gift. I'll just read it. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God has a gift for anybody that will receive it. We have that gift. We have the knowledge of the truth. And if we don't give that gift to anybody else, they're never going to have it. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." How can they know a gift is there if nobody's ever told them? Next, we're responsible because we have the commission. Matthew, turn your Bibles to Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen." It's our job and our duty and our responsibility to tell others about the coming judgment. Just like if I had a cure for cancer or the cure for AIDS or some other life-threatening disease, it would be morally wrong for me to keep it to myself and never tell anybody. Jesus spoke in Luke 14, verse 16. Turn there. He says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray ye have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord hath said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Tonight, it's our job to compel the lost. It's our job to go out and get the lost, to come into the house of God, to get them the gospel, to show them the way of salvation, that they can be in God's kingdom. They can be in God's house with us. They can be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb and be feasting with us in heaven with Jesus Christ. It's our job to compel them in. We want people to warn our relatives. We want people to tell those that we love, and maybe they'd listen if somebody else, maybe we've witnessed to them over and over again, but we want somebody to go and somebody else to go and maybe talk to them. Maybe they can get further. Have you ever tried to give the gospel to somebody over and over again, only to have somebody else come along and that person get saved? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. There are people out there that only you can lead to Christ. There are people that wouldn't give me the time of day, but they'd listen to Brother Dan. There's people that wouldn't give me the time of day, but they'd listen to John Mahoney. They'd listen to Tony. They'd listen to Jim. There are people who will listen, and there are people who will listen to me that won't listen to one of you. You might think, well, I'm not good at talking to people. Well, don't underestimate the handing somebody a tract. Do we make time to warn others? The cults are out recruiting all the time. They're out speaking their lies. They're out giving a false gospel. They don't even believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they teach that you can become your own God. We were up in Limerick last weekend. We just took the weekend. Pastor wanted us to go up, and it was one, as far as I know, it was a good church. They're Calvinistic, so they're not as evangelistic as we are here. And I don't know how much they believe in, you know, if they can lead somebody to Christ or not. I didn't get into too many details with the pastor, but he was talking about trying to reach people. So I, you know, more power to him. He's the only church up there that even has the truth. They had good music. He preached a good message. But there's one church that's even close to what we believe. He told me as I talked to him after the service, he said, I was telling him that Kelly and I were considering maybe going up there and starting a church or something like that. And he said, that would be good. We could use somebody else. He said, but people here, or I asked him how the people responded to him. And he said, a lot of people have come here. He said, they've come here, they started a church, people started coming to their church, they got saved. He said, but then the pastor would leave and everybody just spread out, and they'd go home and tell their relatives that it wasn't even real, God isn't real, And they just thought it was all just a big fake scam just to get their money or something like that. When you give up and you stop telling others about salvation, you're saying, God can't use me. You're telling the world that there is no God worth serving. But worse than that, God's going to require their blood at your hand. I didn't really want to preach this message tonight, but if I didn't warn you, those who you could reach, God would require at my hand also. There's peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on His table and not one turned away. There's singing and laughter as hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries, "My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields." Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. It's ripe unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say, "My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields." Turn to James verse 22. 1 verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, and beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." I want everybody in here to be blessed. I want everybody in here to be successful for Christ. We must not just come to church. We must not just read the Bible. We must not just pray for the lost. We must not simply preach the gospel within the confines of the Westgate. We must not just keep learning and learning the Word of God and never tell those who have never heard of His free gift of salvation. Ezekiel 3, verse 20. I say these things to warn you. Ezekiel 3, verse 20. "And again, when a righteous man," that would be one of us, "when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. You will lose your reward in heaven." The reward you could have had, "but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou shalt deliver thy soul." Now I realize, honestly, that there are some people in here, you can't come out soul winning on Saturdays. You just can't. But there were 25 people that were able to come out during the soul winning blitz, and now only eight or nine of those come back. Maybe you have things to do. We all do. Maybe you could meet up with somebody during the week. Any of us at the office would drop everything we're doing to go out soul winning with somebody who's willing. There are a few men that go out at different times. But even if you can't come out, There are people around us every day. Are we mindful of them? But not just mindful, are we warning them? Are we giving them an opportunity to receive God's gift of eternal life? Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's get busy shining our light and telling others about the Savior and His free gift of salvation for all that believe. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Have you neglected the gospel? Have you neglected telling others the wonderful news of God's free gift of salvation? Is God going to require somebody's blood at your hands? It's unfortunate most, if not all of us, including myself, will be in that position someday. I don't need to make any more because of my own disobedience. We need to do our best to warn others of the coming judgment. You know, if you could make it out Sunday afternoons and you know you've been allowing things to get in the way, then get your priorities in order. If you've neglected yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and following His direction to witness to those around you during the week, you need to make that right with God tonight. I want to pray for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you would say, "Brother Keith, I don't want to, I'm not going to be specific, but if God touched your heart tonight," how many of you would say, "Brother Keith, God touched my heart in some area of my life"? I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. Would you raise your hand? If God touched your heart in some way, anyway, you know, maybe it wasn't even anything I talked about. I don't know. I surrendered to be a missionary the night a pastor preached on marriage. So, you know, you never know. Maybe you can put your hands down. My hand was raised also. Although I go out every Saturday, there's times I've neglected to speak to others. To be honest with you, I'm human just like you are. Last, maybe you came here tonight and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven. You've never been born again. As a preacher, I don't want anyone's blood on my hands. Therefore, I give an opportunity at every service, every time I preach, for somebody to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I want to pray for you tonight. If you don't know 100% sure that you are on your way to heaven tonight, I won't embarrass you or point you out. I want to pray for you. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in here like that? You do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. There's no hands. Father, I thank you for these dear people. God, I pray that you would help us not to be forgetful hearers of the word, but to be doers. Father, help us to be watchmen. Help us to tell others about that free gift and warn the wicked of the judgment that's coming. Father, we see prophecies fulfilled before our eyes. Every day you look in the newspaper, wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of things. You see a one world government coming just as you predicted in your word thousands of years ago. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be more vigilant in getting the gospel to others, especially the closer we get to seeing your coming, to seeing the rapture come. Father, I pray that you would lead us, guide us, give us your Spirit, convict our hearts when we don't listen to your Spirit. Father, help us that we won't have other people's blood on our hands for not warning them. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I pray that you would bless these people that raise their hand. I pray that you'd help them. I pray, Father, that you'd fill them with your Spirit. I pray, Father, that we would have, although we're not out there, I don't think there's, because of the, I don't think there'll be soul winning this week, Lord, on Saturday, but I pray, Father, that you would help next week to be filled. But I pray, Lord, as we go on the retreat, that we would be mindful of those that we come in contact with. As we're hearing preaching, as we're spending time with our families, Lord, help us not to neglect serving you and the opportunities you give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.